This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. While we wait to see how this year's electoral map gets colored in, commentator and former CBS television news anchor Walter Cronkite has this story. It's about an election 40 years ago that dramatically reshaped the electoral landscape.
Close elections may be complex to report, but for all the coffee they consume and the sleep they deny us, they are not necessarily the ones that transform our politics or our history. Close elections tend to postpone national decisions, not confront them.
This year, CBS News will be using a new electronic tally system and a running analysis of trends by television's most experienced news team, including Walter Cronkite, Eric Severide, Edward R. Murrow.
The most important single election night I ever covered was the least surprising and the most lopsided in American history. It was November 1964, and Lyndon Johnson faced Barry Goldwater.
Be sure to vote, then see your vote count first here on the CBS television network.
For 100 years, the Solid South had been the one political entitlement of the Democratic Party, and the party rarely forgot its debt. In 8 out of the previous 9 elections before 1964, the Democrats had nominated a vice presidential candidate from a former slave state. One irony of 1964 was that it would be the third Southern president that would drive the South from the party and trigger a political reformation that is still unfolding. The story doesn't begin in 1964, though. There's an unlikely prologue to all of this. It came a quarter century before, during the midterm election of 1938, in a fireside chat by Franklin Roosevelt.
The White House in Washington, the President of the United States.
In June 1938, Franklin Roosevelt was annoyed. Democratic primaries were getting underway for the 76th Congress. But in the South, several conservative Democrats had voted with Republicans and against New Deal programs. Now they were running for re-election by riding on FDR's name and coattails. So in a fireside chat, Roosevelt said they could not have it both ways. He would do something no Democratic president had ever attempted. He would intervene in Democratic primaries to purge the party of its most conservative members.
As President of the United States, I am not asking the voters of the country to vote for Democrats next November as opposed to Republicans or members of any other party. As the head of the Democratic Party, however, I feel that I have every right to speak in those few instances where there may be a clear-cut issue between candidates for a Democratic nomination involving a clear misuse of my own name.
What Roosevelt was saying, without quite saying it, was that if conservative Southern Democrats wanted to vote with Republicans, they could run as Republicans for all he cared. It was an idea that challenged one of the most basic traditions of the American party system, the one that says that the big ideological battles should be settled inside the parties during the primaries, before taking the battle to the electorate on election day. This is why, for most of their history, both of our parties have included both liberal and conservative factions. The South did not take well to Roosevelt's suggestion in 1938. Every conservative Democrat on the president's hit list was reelected in triumph as a Democrat. Over the next 25 years, the South grew increasingly restless in the Democratic Party. But the solid South still held until 1964. It was a strange campaign of polar opposites. The Republican Party fought its last rearguard battle against the New Deal of the 1930s. The Democrats promised a great society and a new health program to be called Medicare. The national mood was liberal. The outcome was never in doubt.
Johnson and Humphrey, 35.5 million. Senator Goldwater and Congressman Miller, 22 million. An electoral vote, 483 electoral votes for Lyndon Johnson. The three are probable. Those are the votes in Alaska, which we recorded a moment ago.
What made the 1964 election so unprecedented was a party switch that would have seemed unimaginable just 4 years before. The stage was set when Democrat Johnson pushed the first important civil rights legislation through Congress that year, and Republican Goldwater alarmed GOP moderates by voting against it.
Because I am unalterably opposed to any threats to our great system of government and the loss of our God-given liberties, I shall vote no on this bill.
If moderates backed away from Goldwater, though, the Deep South saw him as a new ally in the lost cause of Jim Crow. On election night, the Republicans carried Mississippi by 87%. For a party that had never once put a Southerner on its national ticket, 1964 was a seismic reversal of political roles. Senator Goldwater has 47
electoral votes that he amassed in those five southern states, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Carolina.
What the Republicans lost that night was far less important than what they won. The next morning, the party of Lincoln woke up to discover it had become the party of the Confederacy. Republicans suddenly found themselves with deep roots in a political culture whose authority was increasingly isolated. As a national party, the Republicans could not accept the open racism of Southern politics any more than the Democrats now could. But it was a problem whose days were coming to an end. Voting rights legislation would soon make white Southern politicians accountable to a power they had never known, the black vote. It would take almost a decade before the Republicans found a way to turn this inheritance into an asset. The party embraced family values, religious faith, cowboy boots, and an earthy patriotism. They fit surprisingly well with more time-honored Republican beliefs in individual initiative, private property, low taxes, and a suspicion of any notion that favored equality at the expense of liberty. Today, the Republican coalition that was born on election night 1964 has accomplished two things none of us had thought possible then. It has helped make conservatism an electable force to be reckoned with, and it has projected the South into the politics and culture of the whole nation in ways few could have imagined 40 years ago. For NPR News, this is Walter Cronkite.
And you can hear other stories from Walter Cronkite at our website, npr.org.